To begin my life with the beginning of my life, I record that I was born, as I have been informed and believe, on a Friday at 12 o'clock at night. It was remarked that the clock began to strike and I began to cry simultaneously. The place was Blunderstone in Suffolk. I was a posthumous child. My father's eyes had closed upon the light of this world 6 months when mine opened on it. An aunt of my father's, and consequently a great aunt of mine, of whom I shall have more to relate by and by, was the principal magnet of our family. Miss Trotwood, or Miss Betsy, as my poor mother always called her, had been married to a husband younger than herself. He was strongly suspected of having beaten Miss Betsy, and even of having once, on a disputed question of supplies, made some hasty but determined arrangements to throw her out of a 2-pair of stairs window. These evidences of an incompatibility of temper induced Miss Betsy to pay him off and effect a separation by mutual consent. Immediately upon the separation, she took her maiden name again, bought a cottage in a hamlet on the sea coast, a long way off, established herself there as a single woman with one servant, and was understood to live secluded ever afterwards in an inflexible retirement. This was the state of matters on the afternoon of what I may be excused for calling that eventful and important Friday. My mother was sitting by the fire that bright, windy March afternoon, very timid and sad, and very doubtful of ever coming alive out of the trial that was before her, when lifting her eyes, as she dried them, to the window opposite, she saw a strange lady coming up the garden. My mother had a sure foreboding at the second glance that it was Miss Betsy. The setting sun was glowing on the strange lady over the garden fence, and she came walking up to the door with a fell rigidity of figure and composure of countenance that could have belonged to nobody else. When she reached the house, she made a frown and a gesture to my mother, like one who was accustomed to be obeyed, to come and open the door. "Mrs. David Copperfield?" "Yes," said my mother faintly. "Miss Trotwood," said the visitor. "You have heard of her, I dare say. Now you see her." When they were both seated and Miss Betsy said nothing, my mother, after vainly trying to restrain herself, began to cry. "Oh, tut, tut, tut," said Miss Betsy in a hurry. "Don't do that. Come, come, take off your cap, child," said Miss Betsy, "and let me see you." My mother did as she was told, and did it with such nervous hands that her hair, which was luxuriant and beautiful, fell all about her face. "Why, bless my heart!" exclaimed Miss Betsy. "You're a very baby. Well, and when do you expect—" I am all in a tremble," faltered my mother. I don't know what's the matter. I shall die, I'm sure." "No, no, no," said Miss Betsy. "Have some tea. What do you call your servant girl?"
"Peggotty," said my mother.
"Here, Peggotty," cried Miss Betsy, opening the parlour door. "Tea. Your mistress is a little unwell. Don't dawdle."
Miss Betsy shut the door again and sat down.
"I have no doubt the child will be a girl. I have a presentiment that it must be a girl. Now, child, from the moment of the birth of this girl, I intend to be her friend. I intend to be her godmother, and I beg you'll call her Betsy Trotwood Copperfield. She must be well brought up and well guarded from reposing any foolish confidences where they are not deserved. I must make that my care."
Peggotty, coming in with the tea-board and candles, and seeing at a glance how ill my mother was, conveyed her upstairs to her own room with all speed, and immediately dispatched Ham Peggotty, her nephew, to fetch the nurse and doctor. Those allied powers were considerably astonished when they arrived within a few minutes of each other to find an unknown lady of portentous appearance sitting before the fire with her bonnet tied over her left arm, stopping her ears with jeweller's cotton. When the doctor came downstairs, my aunt was ready for him.
"How is she?"
said she. "Well, ma'am, she will soon be quite comfortable, I hope."